Even before the U.S. went to war in Iraq, many musicians were speaking out in opposition. The latest artist to add his voice to the mix is Lenny Kravitz. This song, titled We Want Peace, is performed with Iraqi pop music favorite Kazim al-Sahir, and it's available only on the internet. Music veterans of an earlier anti-war movement say society and the media have changed significantly since the end of the Vietnam War, and that's changed musical protest. From New York, NPR's Rick Carr reports.
As editor of the folk magazine Sing Out in the 1960s, Irwin Silber cataloged scores of songs written to protest the Vietnam War. Some of them were staples of anti-war rallies, others climbed to the top of the pop charts.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading.
Irwin Silber says that while music provided a focus for opposition to the Vietnam War, he doesn't think it changed many people's minds.
It's not the music that changes people. I think the change in the music reflects changes that are going on underneath that all. What happened in the 60s, there was a cultural change, not just music. And a lot of it had to do with the civil rights movement and with the anti-war movements, and the music egged it on, but also became a reflection of it at the same time.
And even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
Silber's wife, singer and activist Barbara Dane, says that as long as there have been songs in America, there have been protest songs. Dane says a lot of songs could fall under that rubric.
Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done, brother. Can you spare a dime?
In the early 1930s, some radio broadcasters tried to ban lyricist Yip Harburg's lament of a working man destroyed by the Great Depression. 70 years later, it's a sentimental golden oldie. Dane says mass culture has never been very good at transmitting the messages that are included in pop songs.
We have an ongoing tradition of expressing these urgent things right in our pop music, but so much of it gets sidetracked or watered down or confused.
Some of Dane and Silber's fellow anti-war musicians say that's exactly what's happened to American culture since Vietnam. Bill Homans, a.k.a. Watermelon Slim, is a Vietnam vet who became an anti-war activist and musician when he mustered out of the Army in 1970.
The people in this next generation have not had an issue to coalesce around for 20 years or more. It is difficult when a culture has behaviorally modified kids these days such that their most important concerns are titty rings and tattoos.
Other musicians who are making anti-war music say the problem isn't the fans, it's the music industry. John Mellencamp, for instance, has recorded an anti-war song called To Washington, based on a tune that the Carter family and Woody Guthrie recorded early in the 20th century.
And he wants to fight with many, and he says it's not for oil. He sent out the National Guard.
Mellencamp says as a teenager, he marched against the Vietnam War in Washington and he listened to protest music. Back then, he says, record companies and radio broadcasters could embrace songs with anti-war messages. But that freedom has evaporated, he says, as media conglomerates have taken over the record and radio industries and shunned anything that might alienate even one listener.
They are publicly owned companies. They have to dance to the piper now. They haven't got time to fool with young artists who want to write protest songs because, you know, they have to sell records. They have to sell time on their radio stations.
This week, stations got advice along those lines from consulting firm McVeigh Media. The company issued what it calls a war manual for broadcasters, which suggests that in order to hold on to listeners, stations play the national anthem and Pledge of Allegiance daily. The 4-page memo does not include any mention of anti-war messages.
Because the concert stage seems to be just about the only venue available to protest singers today, a dozen or so musicians gathered at the Public Theater in New York early this month for a concert organized by the Alan Lomax Archive. The show kicked off with the dean of protest singers, 83-year-old Pete Seeger, teaching the audience how to sing.
Somewhere over the rainbow. Skies are blue. And the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true.
In addition to Seeger, Dane, and Watermelon Slim, the concert included performances by former Del Fuego's frontman Dan Zanes, New York punk legend Lenny Kaye, and Sonic Youth's Thurston Moore and Jim O'Rourke.
All across America, a light 10 miles long. The dead children are coming home from the land of Vietnam.
Backstage after the show, Jim O'Rourke admitted he's too young to remember much about even the end of the Vietnam War. He says any musician who wants to make protest music today is up against a force that's permeated American popular culture to its fringes, the idea that everything, on some level, is a joke.
For me, the biggest problem is irony, because I think, in a way, the last 10 years of this sort of postmodernist irony has created this sort of, not wall, but sort of distancing effect between the reality and the information. And I think the generation that's grown up in the 80s instead of the 70s grew up too much with that distancing effect, because they're too familiar with how the media works. And I think that's got to be dropped, because it's not funny.
On the other hand, O'Rourke's bandmate in Sonic Youth, Thurston Moore, says some things about the culture circa 2003 make it easier for musicians to take a stand against war. For instance, Moore says that while protests against the Vietnam War took years to reach critical mass, the internet has enabled the formation of a sizable anti-war movement before war in Iraq even started. In the same way, he says, computers let musicians record and distribute music that record labels and radio programmers don't want to touch.
I'm starting a label with a friend of mine, Protest Records, and it's all about people recording music in opposition to be available on the internet, that you can download the CD cover and you can disseminate it to everybody else, and it's free.
Moore launched the label's website this week. John Mellencamp says that the best protest songs are the most musical ones. Whether or not they're singing in protest, he says, musicians have the same responsibilities to inspire emotion, to ask questions, and to entertain. A musician who wants to go a step beyond and deliver a message of protest on a major label or over commercial radio has to answer one fundamental question.
How do I break the rules at the same time look like I'm fitting in?
Mellencamp is releasing his anti-war song, To Washington, through his website as a downloadable MP3. He says he actually has his record company's permission. Rick Carr, NPR News, New York.
For more on protest songs, including pictures from the Vietnam Songbook Concert, go to our website, npr.org.